Thank you so much, Jamie. It's so good to hear you, see you, have your energy here with us. Thank you. Such a wonderful, wonderful day. And I'm going to start with what we've been doing sometimes is sharing the results of someone's prayer. So I'm not going to say anything more, but this is a practitioner, and she is so involved in our center, and we love her so much. Please welcome Marlene Cuckler.
Yay! Welcome. Good morning, everybody. Good
morning.
So like Dr. Heather says, I am a practitioner here. So I know prayer works, and so sometimes it's a matter of it working. Like, I guess I'm a control freak because I think I can control how fast or when it happens. And I just wanted to give you, wanted to make sure I get all my facts in. So in December, my husband and I decided we needed to downsize and have our home of 21 years on the market by June of this year. And so my first prayer, so I had several prayers in, but my first prayer was for divine right order and perfect right action and perfect right order in the selling of our home. And within 3 weeks, we got several offers and accepted it. Within 3 weeks. 45-day escrow. Woo! So packing, inspection, packing, working, teen camp for 1 week, packing, garage sales. Okay. So second prayer was to open to finding the perfect home, right price, right area, right timing. And as we looked for at rentals, we were getting a little discouraged because in finding a place, because we have two dogs. Okay. So I'm going to tell you some of the lessons that I've learned in the process. Surrender has been my favorite word. Surrender to control, surrender to what it's going to look like, surrender to when it's going to happen, all of it. I feel like I've had a deeper abiding trust and faith in God, in my higher power and spirit. Getting past fear and ego. Yes, fear and ego. And to be able to ask for help. Oh, my God. Huge, huge, huge. Because I'm a practitioner, I should be able to do it for myself, right? So I thought. So I know I'm not alone, that I know the power and presence of spirit through my support group, through the practitioners in this community is, you know, infinite spirit through each one of us that is guiding and directing. So part of it I have down is acknowledging fear too, because 1 week before we needed to move and didn't know where we would be moving to, 1 week. So I'm packed up, but we don't know where we're going to move to. Not knowing is huge, huge, huge. So I went and spoke to a practitioner, Dave Friedman. I love you. Thank you. Fear not knowing where we would move to and maybe need to move to storage and to move twice. So I had to acknowledge that just to kind of sit with it and say, okay, surrender to that again. You know, if that so be, if that's what we need to do, that's what we need to do. I had to surrender to that. I had this huge fear that I didn't want to do that, you know, and just acknowledging it and saying, okay, 2 days later, 4 days before we needed to move, we got a call. We got our home, nice big yard, except for, you know, perfect for the dogs, for our family, and perfect demonstration. So thank you, Dave. Thank you for the center. Thank you, God. It works.
Thank you so much. I love to be reminded that prayer works. Prayer works. So we're in a month that normally we ask you for a pledge. We're not going to do that, so relax. We're not going to do it. What we're going to do is we're going to show you the prosperity principles that will help you live your life better and fuller, and we're doing that. So we're basing our whole month on Reverend Edwin Gaines' wonderful book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. And those of you who know the book know that the first law of prosperity is tithing. But I want Reverend Edwin, who's going to be here on the fourth Sunday, to teach you all about tithing. I could do it, but she will do it masterfully. She's the one that taught me to walk on fire. I trust her. She knows how to walk on fire. She knows how to talk about whatever needs to be talked about. But I do want to say one thing. We're not the only people that teach tithing. I know that my friend, who was a teacher for many, many years and is a member of Self-Realization Fellowship, has tithed for years. And this is such a good story. Her accountant said, "What are you doing? Your income is going up every year." And she said, "All I'm doing differently is tithing." He started tithing because he saw her income going up every year. It works if you work it. It works if you work it. So that's all I'm saying about the first law of prosperity. You'll hear more about that in the fourth week. But what I'm going to talk about this morning is goal setting, which is a spiritual law of prosperity. Now, you know, everyone knows about goal setting. And when I look on the internet, when I look on YouTube, there are all these wonderful motivational speakers, all of these wonderful businessmen, and they're all teaching goal setting. I want you to look at that. It's a spiritual law of prosperity. It's a spiritual law of prosperity. So the first thing you need to decide is, what is prosperity to you? And it might be a big pile of money, but if you don't know how much money is in that pile, it probably isn't that. But it could be. It's all right if that is what your idea of prosperity is. The clearer you are on what your idea of abundance and prosperity in your life, the clearer you are about what it is, the more it will show up in your life. The fuzzier you are, the less it will show up. It can't show up. So there, and God's agreeing. Okay. So it might be freedom is what your idea of prosperity is. It might be connection. It might be more connection in your relationships, more community, more togetherness. It might be more creativity, the brilliance of Karen Allen, Jamie Lula, Diane King Van, who write and create and all of that, every single one of us. Edwin tells this wonderful story in her book, how she first went to a New Thought church, probably a Unity church, and she looked around, she's very observant, cornered the minister right after the service and told him everything that was wrong with the service. The carpet hadn't been vacuumed properly. There was dust on things. The organist was off key. Vocalist was off key. On and on and on, a long litany of what was wrong. And he said to her, he looked at her, he said, "My dear Edwin, I'm going to tell you right now the highest holy law of prosperity. And it is, don't bitch." Well, remember, the God of love cannot hear the prayer of the one who fails to love. So here's a challenge for all of us, starting today at this very moment. Live without complaint, without criticism, without gossip, any negative thing in any way. To say, okay, I'm just going to do this for 21 days. I'm going to try it to see if my life is more prosperous at the end of 21 days by letting go of some of the habits that I've developed. And she said when she first did it, she considered herself a great conversationalist before, but those 21 days she was mostly silent, because if you're... if your normal way of being with people is to complain. And I remember when I was many decades ago, when I was in my 20s, a young woman, I thought that was our job. I complained about everything. I complained about the weather as if that complaint was going to do anything to the weather. I complained about my husband all the time, and all of my girlfriends complained about their husbands. It was just, we were in a mutual complaint society. Our lives weren't working, but we had no idea that we were somehow responsible. None of us. So now that I know better, now that we know better, let's do better. So who's up for the challenge? If you are, raise your hand. Woohoo! Okay, all right. 21 days, starting today, no complaint, no criticism. So if I go on too long or I don't explain something, you're not going to criticize. You might give me feedback, but it will be gentle. Okay? Okay, so prosperity. Prosperity is the outpicturing of substance in our affairs. Substance is the presence of God, of the divine. The outpicturing of substance in our affairs. So life is ever giving to it of itself. We must receive, utilize, and extend the gift. We must receive, utilize, and extend the gift. So if we are to be prosperous, we have to first of all receive it. And that's where goal setting comes in, because if you are non-specific in your desires, you will have non-specific results in your life. It's not bad, but this amazing principle that we're dealing with, this power of life itself, that when Reverend Patty was introducing herself, she said, the thing that uses us, it can only use us if we open to it and then direct it, say yes to it. And where do you look first of all? You look in your own hearts. And Ernest Holmes is very clear about this, that anything that you truly desire that comes from your heart can be yours as long as you are willing. It doesn't hurt anyone. It really comes from you. And it isn't that somebody else has this great idea for you. And we know that. There have been times in our life when people have had such great ideas for us. But this is about you having a great idea for you. If you want to be singing the song you came here to sing, maybe you would have to pay attention to what those dreams are. What those dreams are. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." So there's a spiritual basis to goal setting right there. It is done unto us as we believe. Okay, Edwin has 10 steps. So that sounds like a long talk. It won't be, I promise you. It's going to be right on time. So 10 steps. The first step is to write down all your dreams, big and small, and keep adding to the list. Now, how many of you already do that? Okay, some do it sometimes. Okay, I'm challenging you for this to write them all down, big or small. So it might be new red shoes. I found this really cute pair on the internet. Or it could be horseback riding in Tuscany. Now, first of all, the horseback part scares me, but the Tuscany part, yum. Yum. Okay, horseback riding. So it can be big. It can be small. Write them all down. I made a visual picture of some of mine. And so every area of your life, it should include, and it will, if you keep listening to those desires, it will include every area of your life. Your creative expression, your physical body, your health and well-being, your connection with others, your love life. It will include every single aspect. And be willing to write it all down. Make a list. So step number two, choose the most important and list under importance to you. So you now make the list. She says she chooses 12. 12 is quite a few to work with, but she's a master. I'd say choose at least 6. One, in maybe all of the areas. Choose them. And these And then choose them, prioritize. The very first important thing, so you can see for me, the very first important thing is being physically healthy. Because if my body isn't healthy, then it doesn't matter what else I'm able to accomplish. So a physical body, and then making a difference in many, many, many people's lives. That's important to me. Okay, so step two is prioritizing, making that list shorter so you can manage it. Step three, this is the hard part. What changes might I need to make to achieve these goals? And remember, these are the ones that came from your heart. So the same power that gave you the goal has absolutely the same way, has everything that you need in order to accomplish the goal, but you might have to change what you're doing, thinking, or being. You might have to change where you live. You might have to change some relationships. You definitely have to change your mind. You definitely have to change your mind. So ask authentically and prayerfully, what might I need to change? And listen, this is when journaling comes in. It's so important. Pay attention. What is it saying to me? What is it saying to me? And your dreams might be telling you also. So that's step three. Step four, choose the date by when you want to accomplish the goals. So every single goal from that short list, by when do you want it? And then once you receive it, so read your list of goals morning and night at least three times. And when you read them, so don't read them silently. Read them out loud with enthusiasm as an affirmation, not, I want to be physically fit. In the future, I will be physically fit. Right now, I'm vital health, brimming with energy and vitality. I am fit. That's my goal. I'm speaking it as if it's already so. Okay. Then imagine yourself. This is the fun part. Imagine yourself achieving each goal. Play with it. If you're creating a new, if you're creating a new relationship, play with that. Imagine you're having dinner, going dancing, having a deep conversation. You might play both parts. That's fine. But act it out. Act as if. Act as if. That's so imagine yourself achieving each goal. Step seven, act as if with confidence and faith. So the example that she gives, if you want a new home, talk to a realtor. Take some step that tells your mind that you're serious. And going back to writing the goals, I read something from one of the psychologists yesterday that your brain recognizing your writing as being something you really intend. So don't type your goals. Write them with your handwriting. Read that handwritten list because your brain sees it as an instruction to you. The type list looks nicer, but it sees it only as some words on the paper, not personal to you. Okay, step eight, don't tell anyone else. Don't tell anyone else. I was at one of the YouTubes that I watched last night. This young man was saying, research has shown that when you even speak your goal to someone else, your brain thinks you've already started accomplishing it. So it doesn't help you do it. Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. This is a little slight variation than what I've ever taught before, because I do think you keep it to yourself so that the trolls don't steal it from you. But right? You don't want the trolls stealing your goals. Like, what? You think you can do that? Who do you think you are? It's not only for that reason. It's because it diminishes the power of the goal itself because your brain thinks you've already done it. They did a research study where a group of people were given 45 minutes to accomplish a certain thing that was toward their own goal. And then they were divided in half. I guess it might have been 44 people, because I don't know about the half of the 45. But anyway, 44 people, and half of them were told, it's okay if you don't finish now. You'll have more time. And they told their goals. The other half who didn't tell their goals were not given the instruction. When the half time came, all of those people quit. They didn't keep working. The other 22 kept working toward their goals, kept working toward that vision, pulled by that vision of what their hearts desire. So don't tell anyone. And then cross off the goals as they are achieved and add new ones. I was taught many years ago that an achieved goal is counterproductive. An achieved goal is counterproductive, meaning that once you've achieved it, then there's nothing to move toward. And that divine presence in you has always something to move toward, has always a greater expansion of self, of presence. Okay, we're just about there. Step 10. Remember, God's highest law is love. Remember, God's highest law is love. So here's the reason it's a spiritual process. Love itself created you in its image and likeness, given you free will to think whatever you want to think, to choose whatever you want to choose, to decide whatever you want to decide. And from that decision, it creates for you, because it loves you. It is love. And you are it, and it is you. So, okay. Just take a nice deep breath. And we can go to the clear. And exhale. And take another deep breath. And repeat after me. I'm the beloved child of a rich father. I receive my good now. It is God's pleasure to give me the kingdom. I open my heart to receive it. So have any of you, all of you, all of you have already done this. And the more you open to that presence within you, the more you'll be stimulated to enjoy more, do more, be more, so that your light is shining, that the small things you do are illuminated. As Jamie's song said, all the small things we see God, and that in each one of us, God's presence is always shining brightly. This is going to be a fantastic month. We're in for a great ride. We'll see you next week. So it is. Thank you. And Diane, I think we'll forego the prayer and we'll go right into, it's now my pleasure to welcome back Jamie Lula.
Don't you love Dr. Heather? The caveat that I've heard about the not complaining for 21 days, maybe some of you have heard it, is that if you do complain, you have to start all over. So my wife and I tried it. 10 years later. But, God, wow, a life without complaint, you know, a life without a, what a gift. What a gift. I'm so grateful. The whole idea of prosperity and writing it down, the whole idea of seeing it, recognizing the infinite presence of God. For me, I mean, just getting clarity on what is prosperity. It's so big in my life because, you know, I don't want money to have things. It's like I'm really not about, you know, I want a car that works. I want to be able to provide for my family. I want to take care of my son and my wife, and it's not about stuff for me. It's about having the freedom to continue to do what I love, to express freely, and to go to Mallorca for 6 months and write an album and record with Klaus, or to go to Israel and play with all the amazing musicians that Bruce knows. To be able to go up and worship and celebrate with people of so many different faiths all over the world, and to recognize we're all talking about the same thing. Knowing that God, if God is truly infinite, that no one's got the corner on the market. So I hope that you join us this afternoon, because I know that it will be a fabulous concert. And if anybody has Greece on their bucket list, my wife and I are taking a tour next June. So if that shows up on your list, I'd love to tell you more about it. But right now, this is a song I wrote a long time ago and I put away. I have no idea why, but I'm grateful I brought it back out. I am here for God, oh, here for God, and God is here for me. I am here for God, and God is here for me. Today I enter in this infinite accord to be a place where the Spirit of the Lord won't go unnoticed. As I sing this song and breathe with every moment, I taste, touch, see, hear, and feel. I am here for God, oh, here for God, and God is here for me. I am here for God, and God is here for me. How can I serve thee? Let me know what I can do that I might be a light and rest for you and deep compassion for myself and those who need your loving kindness. Like a jasmine summer breeze, I am here for God, and God is here. Come on, y'all. Words are simple. I am here for God, oh, here for God, and God is here for me. I love my God. I love my past and pain, distilling
until I witness all I've gained. I am here for God, here for God, oh, here for God, here for God, and God is here for me.
Come on.
I am here for God, here for God, here for God, oh, I am here.